This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay. We got Jay Moore. We got you for a three-hour ride here on this Tuesday morning. We'll open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch the show and all the shows here on ESPN 1000. And, Cap, we got a lot to get to. We got Shout or No Shout. We got Albert Breer at 835. But we want to turn everyone's attention to something that maybe many missed, and that is the owner for the Chicago Bulls and the Chicago White Sox, Jerry Reinsdorf. And he got a chance to speak at a panel at Milliken Institute. We were able to listen and watch a lot of this yesterday, and we want to bring this conversation to many people that might have missed it. But Jerry had a lot of things to say.
So Jerry, very lucid, 87, I believe he is. Very lucid. Cool that he goes to be on a panel like this. That said, to listen to some of his opinions that appear to be antiquated in how things are done by other ownership groups today, I would say Jerry's a good person. People like working for him. If you don't want to play by the rules the way they are today, and I'm not saying you have to be Steve Cohen, but you can play in the deep end of the pool, in a market like this, then you should cash out, take your billions, and move on. You cannot tell me that you look and only three teams have not signed a player to a $100 million or more deal. Oakland, they have a horrible situation. Kansas City, not much better. And the White Sox? And everyone else can do that. That's one. Two, if you are not trying to win and you're not willing to play and go after players like the Texas Rangers do or some of the other teams that are not at the top of the revenue chain, leave the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets to the side. There are a ton of other teams that are spending money and trying to win. And if you're not trying to win and you just want to play big games in September, his words, not mine, then at some point you need to say, you know what? It's past me. I don't want to play like that. I'll take my $2 billion, disperse it how my limited partnership is, and move on.
So let's hear from Jerry Reinsdorf, who, again, was at Milliken Institute giving his thoughts. He says he's never worried about making money. He just wants to win.
My approach has been I never really cared about making any money. I just want to win. Now, that's not what I wanted to do in business. And in fact, I better make money in business if I want to win in sports. It's just so different. You know, the first week I was in sports, somebody said to me, if you listen to the fans, you'll soon be sitting with the fans. And so you can't allow your decisions to be guided by emotion or what you think people want. At the same time, you have to consider what the fans are thinking or they're not going to buy your tickets. So it's unbelievably different than the real world. It really is. And I've just resolved all the inconsistencies by trying to win as often as I can, knowing you can't.
Well, Here's what I will say, and I've been spending money, or my family's been spending money, at 35th and Vec since he and Eddie Einhorn bought the team. As a lifelong White Sox fan, the Sox mean the most to me in Chicago, as far as the Chicago sports landscape is concerned. And it has always troubled me, for the most part, that the White Sox are always playing catch-up ball. meaning that when it comes to spending money, when it comes to trying to have a top payroll, the Sox always seem to be behind. Doesn't matter if you're the quote-unquote second team in town when it comes to baseball, whatever the perception is of that. The point is, though, is that you can't worry about what's happening a few miles away at Wrigley Field. You have to be able to take care of what's best for the White Sox. I'm glad that I was able to be alive to see my team win a World Series. That's fine. But as we talk about the Bears and other teams in this city, it is about having sustained success. And having one-offs for the playoffs is not good enough. The team is slip-sliding in a bad direction right now. We quoted the numbers the other day about what this ball club and this organization has done since 2013. It's under 500, it's underwater, it's stuck in the mud, and it is not good enough. The quote initially where he said that if you listen to the fans, you'll be sitting with them. And the slippery slope of trying to determine, okay, well, I got to listen to some of what the fans say, but then if you listen to the fans, you'll be sitting with them. You have to be able to find that balance. You have to, as an ownership, but as an organization. When you shut down Sox Fest, clearly you don't care what the fans think, because there was a reason for that. You didn't want to put Rick Hahn or the organization in a bad spot, as if Rick Hahn's not a big boy. He's had it rough at Sox Fest before. He's had it rough at Reggie's Rock Club and being able to speak to Sox fans. So he can handle it. Let him be able to talk to the fans about what the future of the team holds. I'm just telling you, Cap, that when I listened to Jerry, I felt bad for him, because I'm listening to him and I'm thinking, man, he sounds like he did in the 80s. This whole thing where it's just like, I'm not really in it to make money. Well, you should be in it to make money and to be able to win championships. I know it's not blessed for everybody, but this is Chicago, man. We deserve better than that. Not just a one-off. Not just hiring Tony La Russa because you just think, well, this is the thing that's going to tip it in. You just knew with the La Russa thing, it was this, either it was going to get to a World Series championship or it was going to fall flat on its face, and the latter happened.
Well, what I don't understand is, and we have the cut as well, where he talks about owners like to think they know more than they do. And he said, I've learned, if I know more than my GM and my coach, then I got the wrong GM and I got the wrong coach. Very valid point. Valid. It's hard for owners who have billions of dollars of their own money in it to say, I'm not going to meddle, get involved. But then my response to that should have been from Rachel Nichols. She should have asked, well, why'd you force Tony La Russa on your management team then?
There's a tendency among owners to think they know more than they know. Because almost everybody who buys a team has been a fan. And, of course, the fans absolutely know that they can run a team better than anybody.
Of course.
Owns it. So when you buy the team, you've got to get that out of your head. If you think that you know more than your general manager or your head coach, then you've got the wrong general manager. And what you really want is you want people in all of the positions to be better at their jobs than you are. And sometimes you just have to bite your tongue and have faith. And if you don't have faith, then get somebody else. But you can't make the decisions for your baseball people or your basketball people or your football people. You've got to let them make the decisions.
You say what he wants, Cap, but I think that from a PR standpoint, some of the things he said were not good. It was not good. Like, here's one thing I wouldn't talk about. I wouldn't talk about the fans. The only way I would talk about the fans is we appreciate the support that we get. Enough of that.
Like,
I mean, again, you're looking at the books at the end of the year and you're going, well, what's up with the attendance numbers and our TV ratings and why was there a lull here? Well, why do you think that is? Because the ball club isn't very good, and it hasn't been good for a long time. Fans, again, the few fans that were there on Sunday because the weather was so bad, you know, chanting sell the team. I mean, fans can say what they want, but those fans are passionate and they care. It was Chicago, of course we care. If I'm him from a PR standpoint, and it's Jerry, Jerry's going to do whatever he wants to do and say what he wants to say. The last thing I'd be talking about is the fans in a derisive tone. I would not.
So here's the other thing. My question to you is, if you own a team, do you have a civic responsibility to try to win no matter the cost? No matter the cost. You're wealthy. Here's a question. If your revenues aren't supporting adding more payroll, Why don't you take on a limited partner? Hey, I'll sell you 10% of my whatever he owns. He doesn't own the whole team. He's got a bunch of limited partners. So why aren't you saying, okay, I'll sell you 10% of my 10%. Give me whatever the number is, 200 million, whatever the number is, and put that into your team. Do you have a responsibility?
Sure, of course.
To try to win, or is it okay if an owner goes, I don't want to make any money, but I don't want to lose either, so I'm only going to spend what our revenues will start to support. I don't agree with Jerry. I believe that if Jerry does not truly at this age, at 87, want to push his chips in and go, Rick, spend whatever you got to spend, let's get this thing right, then you should put the team up for sale because that's the way the game is played today.
Yes. He mentioned the 202 hitting, you know, shortstop that is making $30, $40 million a year because he has to be able to play ball with the rest of the owners. Well, that's the price of poker today, Jerry. You got to be able to understand that. And again, you run the team how you want to run the team. But then when you wonder, you know, where are the fans? Or how come people are not excited about my product? Well, there's a reason. You don't say the quiet part out loud, Cap. You don't. However you feel internally should be behind closed doors. Everything should be rainbow and sunshine and balloons to the fans. It has to be because you have to. Here's the thing that is probably the most difficult job for someone in a front office. And that's someone that's running PR or someone as like Brooks Boyer. I've always said for years he's got the toughest job in Chicago, trying to be able to have as many bells and whistles, as much jazz hands, as many things that he can to entice people to come to the ballpark, despite the team on the field. That's a tough job. It's tough. He's got the toughest job in Chicago. Because he has to try to figure out, is the sun up today? Okay, maybe we're going to get fans today to come be able to enjoy the experience around the team. Enjoy the team, but the experience around the team. The fundamentals here. And bring your kids here for that. He's got such a tough job despite the underachievement on the field. And then on top of that, Cap, when we come back, we're going to play something that you and I have heard over the years, but it might be new to someone else. Regarding Jerry and whether or not it is worth it to be a first-place team. Something that we've heard before, but it's going to come out again. You're going to hear that coming up next. Do owners have the responsibility to do right by fans? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. I'm personally offended by some of the things that Jerry said to the Milliken Institute. And there's something else that you got to hear that Cap and I are going to play for you coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. So glad you're with us here on this Tuesday morning as we talk about the owner of the Chicago Bulls and the Chicago White Sox, Jerry Reinsdorf, who spoke at a panel at Milliken Institute. It was a global conference panel amongst others. Jerry was there. A number of things that he said, Cap, and again, not everything, but there's a number of things that just struck a wrong chord with me. And I do believe in not saying the quiet part out loud. What I heard from Jerry is what I could have read in the paper in the 80s. There's some of the things that he was saying. You've got to be able to keep up with the Joneses. I want you to just think just practically, Cap, the amount of money that the Cubs have spent, whatever you thought of Sam Zell, whatever you think of Ricketts, hey, at least there's a World Series championship over there. Sox got one, too. A pop-up championship coming out of nowhere because no one thought the White Sox would win in 05, but no one's happier than me because I love my White Sox. But just the idea that the Sox roll out there with Benintendi, the highest paid Sox of all time, it's kind of like him, this is what you quote-unquote broke the bank for, Benintendi. There's been so many other free agents that could have been in a White Sox uniform that can make a difference. But just understand, for years, for decades, as a White Sox fan, the Sox have been about attractions. Attractions. Hey, here's come see Ken Griffey Jr. Here, come see Kevin Youkilis. Come see David Wells. see certain guys that were great in other uniforms.
Carl Everett.
And come over and see him at the White Sox. Right. Just to get fans in. Attractions. And so when we hear from Jerry in this global conference panel at Milken Institute, second, third, fourth place, that isn't bad in sports.
Well, one thing you need to understand is that sports is neither a sport nor a business. It's somewhere in between. And it's different than any other sport, any other business. For example, your competitors are your partners. You earn probably over half of your income in conjunction with your competitors. At the same time, you are at the mercy of your dumbest competitor. It's particularly in baseball. If you have, you know, somebody decides he wants to spend $42 million on a second baseman who hit 202, and one comes along for you, you're going to probably have to spend the same money. I mean, so the whole thing is irrational. My approach has been I never really cared about making any money. I just want to win. Now, that's not what I wanted to do in business. And in fact, I better make money in business if I want to win in sports.
Thoughts there from Jerry Reinsdorf.
I don't think he takes a dollar from the team. That said, if you're not I believe there's, if you buy a team, especially in a legacy city like Chicago, New York, Boston, Philly, Cleveland, like where it's religion, man, it is religion. I believe you have a civic responsibility to try to win. Period. Period. And if he doesn't believe that he should pay Shohei Ohtani $500 million or Manny Machado $300 million, that's fine. That's where the game has moved to today. And I would say to him, that's your right. Then you should put the team up. If you're going to ask your fans to show up, Jonathan Hood, we want your heart and soul, man. We want you to be all White Sox. But we're not going to try to win. If the window was supposedly open last year, mm-hmm. you wouldn't have forced Tony down Rick's throat. If Rick wanted him, different story.
Right.
He didn't. That's A. You came into this year, Rick got his manager, Pedro, who I don't hold at fault here other than a couple of things I didn't like that he with Luis Robert. We can get into that later. That said, why is Oscar Colas, who looks overmatched to me right now, and a couple weeks ago I thought, well, he looks like he belongs. It's regressed. Why do you not have a veteran out there? Why did you have to beg, borrow, and steal to get Elvis Andrus back here at the 11th hour? Why have you not gone out and said, our window to win's right now, I'm 87 years of age, here's the checkbook, Rick. I want him, go get Verlander, whoever it is. They haven't done that. That's fine. If that you don't want to spend it, no one can make you spend it. Then you should say, I had a good run. Write me my check for my team and let somebody else buy it.
If you don't want to spend it, then don't be surprised at the repercussions on the other end. Just don't be surprised.
Correct.
I mean, just no, but there should never be a surprise at the end of the year when you open the books and go, well, wait a minute now, what happened here? Well, I mean, what happened here is because you don't have the commitment to winning, not strong enough to be able to compete. Your rival is not the Cubs. Your rival is the American League Central.
Right.
That's your rival. To be able to be a playoff team and try your luck in the playoffs every single year. And again, you should not be playing behind. You should not be playing like it's 1992. He makes that comment about, you know, a middle infielder hitting 202. Well, that's the price of poker, pal. That's where you are
today. That's what I'm saying. I'm in complete agreement with you.
He has to understand that, though. And so, like, I just know one thing. If I'm him, I know that he's been in the game for a long time, so he doesn't care about perception anymore. Didn't care about that. But if I'm an owner, I would care about perception. I don't need someone on social media or on a talk show talking about how I'm not trying to win, how I'm not putting my best foot forward to try to win. Loyalty has ruined this franchise. It has. 2013, from where we are right now, from 2013 to where we are right now, it's the idea of trusting people in place to try to get it done and then not getting it done. There's nothing wrong with being loyal, but you can't be loyal to a fault where it hurts business. It hurts business unless you don't care about that business. This is simply put, Cap. I mean, it's not saying that going to Guaranteed Rate is a bad thing or the experience is bad. Not saying that. I'm saying the on-field product is underachieving. And nobody can fight me on that at 35th and Vec. Nobody can fight me on that in looking at how this team has grossly underachieved. You can't go from the playoffs, non-playoffs, to this on May 2nd. I mean, you can't do that. And then expect for people to come and people to be interested and people not to be pissed off.
Agreed. I don't blame him for the performance of the team right now. I blame him for not pushing his chips in the middle and going, our window to win is what my people are telling me, our window's now in. Go get me him, whoever you want. Money will not be a roadblock, period. Yeah. And he hasn't run it that way. That's fine. Then sell the team. That's the way it is today.
I just thought that some of the things that he said offended me as a White Sox fan. And when people say sell the team, okay, well, the same guy that presided over a World Series championship and six championships with the Bulls. That's great. But what have you done for me lately? What have you done?
They've won one playoff game, correct? One playoff game or two since they won the World Series 18 years ago.
That will not get it done. Just won't. Not in this climate. Especially in this climate where people have so many other things to do.
Correct.
And the go. And where they spend their money. Money's tight. And so do you want to spend it on a team that in which the owner says that, you know, hey, listen, if you listen too much to the fans, you'll be sitting with the fans. Dallas, Texas, listening on the ESPN Chicago app is Justin on ESPN 1000. Hello, Justin.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Justin?
I hope everything is good. Yeah, I hope everything is good. I feel like Jerry Reinsdorf, when he was saying everything that he said, he sounded like a damn fool, honestly. Everybody knows the fans make up the team. You know, you play for the they want the fans in the stands, you know, it's going to drive revenue for the team. You play to win. Like you always say, Cap, you play at of the Golden State Warriors, the owner. You know, we heard what he said. So for Jerry Reinsdorf to say everything that he's saying, I mean, as long as he's at the head, this team will never go anywhere. Because he's like you said, that he has that mind state, like it's 1992, 1993. So that's just my two cents. The Sox won the other day, but it still disappoints me because look how far they're falling. It's like they're free falling. But I appreciate y'all taking my call as always.
Appreciate you, Justin. Yeah, he's referencing the Joe Lacob quote that you keep on your board that we've played. Joe Lacob owns the Golden State Warriors and basically says on the cut, I'm maniacal about one thing at this point in my life. I've made all my money. Winning championships. And he references Dr. Jerry Buss, the late Jerry Buss, of the Lakers, who went to 17 finals in 33 years. 17! Didn't win every one. Won his share. But he said, that's what I want. I want to be that. And so whatever the cost is, Steve Kerr gets how much? Done. Oh, you want to add Kevin Durant? Done. You want to do this? Done. He does not care what he spends.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number here. As a fan, were you offended by what Jerry said? And so we'll talk about that as we move forward here on Cap and Jay Hood. It's Brian in Kenosha on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. It's Brian.
What's up, gentlemen? 2 days in a row. I'm loving this.
What's up, man?
Hey, buddy. So I was just telling Shay, like, I lived in New York City for, like, 5 years, you know, and easily Chicago is the number one sports town in the country, you know, I personally think, just based on, you know, how feverish our fans are. And it always blows me away that, like, as that market, we can't get winners. The Jets and the Mets are the second-class citizens of New York City when it comes to sports, and they try harder than we do. I just don't understand that. Like, I can't get that we don't have a dynamic owner that would want to come in and shake those things up in any of our major sports franchises. And the idea that Reinsdorf, what businessman alienates his customers? That makes no sense. Don't be preaching business to me when you're alienating the customer base. It makes no sense.
We appreciate your phone call, Brian. Healy's line open for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. If you're on hold, you will be on the air. We played for you some of the things from Jerry Reinsdorf from that Milliken Institute conversation, that panel. Want to get your thoughts on what Jerry and Cap and I have had to say about it. Still to come, some thoughts about the Bears as well. As far as looking at the Bears today, are they better than they were 3 days ago? We'll get into that as well as we move forward right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Cubs shook off the weekend sweep with a 5-1 win against Washington. Dansby Swanson hit a two-run homer. Drew Smyly allowed one run over seven innings with a 2.83 ERA on the year. The White Sox are back in action tonight on the south side against the Twins. It's Twins week. Twins are in first place in the division at 17-12. Michael Kopech is on the mound. 7.01 ERA so far this season. First pitch is at 6:10 right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Northwestern has given coach Chris Collins a three-year extension. Last season was the best in school history. Won against number one for the first time in program history. Made second round of the NCAA tournament. So congratulations to Coach Collins from Northwestern. No Embiid, no problem. The Sixers beat the Celtics last night, 119-115 to take game one. James Harden had 45 points and 17 for 30 from the field. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Also on YouTube as well, youtube.com. Look for the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel. Hit that subscribe button. That way you can catch all the interviews and all of our live shows on YouTube, youtube.com. Look for ESPN 1000 Chicago. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number here on Cap and Jay Hood as we talk about the comments made by the owner for the Bulls and the White Sox, Jerry Reinsdorf from Milliken Institute. Cap, you know, over the years, you and I have had calls for years about Jerry Reinsdorf. Oh, Jerry doesn't want to spend money. Jerry doesn't care about us. The last thing a fan wants to feel is like, hey, I'm not important. Yes, money, to make money. Why are you an owner? Why are you a millionaire? Because you want to be a billionaire. Why are you a billionaire? Because you want to be able to make more money. But also with your money, you want to be able to win. I told you this a couple years ago. It's like, if I'm George McCaskey, I don't want to just be one of the owners of the Bears. I want to be able to walk into a room and people say, there he is. There he is, George McCaskey. Look at him. Look at him. He's Super Bowl champion. Look how he's turned around. Look, he's got Warren and Poles. Ah, look at. Come on over, George. Have a cigar. That's what you want, right?
Yeah.
You want to be the shining star of the ownership.
Correct.
You want your franchise to be distinguishable over others in sports.
Instead of walking in. Hey, can we get them on a schedule four times next year, right?
Oh, yes, you don't want that.
Right, no, but the thing is, Steve Cohen made his money in hedge funds.
Mm-hmm.
George Steinbrenner made his money in building big ships.
Mm-hmm.
Guggenheim Financial Partners, who bought the Dodgers, the one dude lives right by Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
They made their money in the financial world. So they have a reservoir of cash. I don't know what Jerry's bankroll is. Ricketts made their money by owning TD Ameritrade. But, like, the McCaskey, that is their business.
Correct.
So if the Bears can't support what they want to do, they don't have a spigot of money at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different. But if Jerry doesn't truly want to push his chips in and go, I'm trying to win. Before I die, I want one more. Rick, I don't care. I can't take the money with me. Then either sell a share of the team for a limited partner, put that money into your payroll, or whatever you've saved up in your personal war chest, push it in. Period.
I'm offended by some of the things that he said, but it goes back to a cut that you and I remember from David Sampson, former general manager and head of the Florida Marlins. He now is a talk show host. He's got a really good podcast, Nothing Personal with David Sampson. He works for Metalark Media now. David Sampson, and you and I are very privy to the stories of Sampson when he was one of the heads of the Florida Marlins.
Yeah, he was team president then.
And in his dealings with Jerry Reinsdorf.
Right.
Reinsdorf, not necessarily the biggest fan of Sampson. But nonetheless, some thoughts from David Sampson regarding Reinsdorf and how it's okay to finish second.
You know, Jerry Reinsdorf, when I first got into baseball, I've never told this story before, and I like Jerry very much, and I'm sorry, Jerry, but here it comes. He sat me down. I was 32 years old, just in baseball for my first of 18 years, and he said, you know what? Here's my best advice to you. Finish in second place every single year because your fans will say, wow, we've got a shot. We're in it. But there's always the carrot left. There's always one more step to take.
The chase sucks, though. That's the whole thing. The chase sucks. You want to be able to be not second place. You want to be in first place with a chance to win the championship. Whether that's true or not, I mean, David Sampson now is just going scorched earth. He's telling all the stories that you're not supposed to know about owners and dealing with Jeffrey Lurie. And all. He's saying a lot of stuff on his podcast now. But that, if that is true, that's the worst.
100% agree with you.
If that is true, that is the worst.
You should be trying to win, especially, I can't stress this enough, the game has changed. The money has changed. Jerry, you have a cut on your board. Jerry talked about what he was getting paid when he bought the White Sox to have the games on TV.
Well, it's been an amazing change, an amazing ride. I think in 1981, my first year, we were getting $6,000 a game for White Sox games. Now our rights fees are about $700,000 a game. So it's really moved. But we're now at a point where nobody really knows what's going to happen next, because we were getting away with murder with the cable bundle. You basically people were paying for sports who really didn't want the sports.
Right.
But if they wanted the cable, but now we have cord cutters. We have Neverwars. Far fewer cable subscribers. I think I saw a number the other day. ESPN used to be in 100 million homes, and now they're in 60 million homes. So, you know, streaming is coming along, but streaming doesn't produce the money that the cable bundle produced. And there's basically near panic, I think, at least in MLB and a little bit in the NBA, because where are we going to replace this money in the short term? Nobody really knows. But it certainly is not immediately direct-to-consumer streaming. That may take and it's also a problem because we still have the cable bundle, so the cable distributors who still are around and still carrying the games, they don't want us to stream direct to consumer because that hurts their business. So I would say the only word I can think of to describe what's going on in TV now is chaos and fear, maybe fear.
So for people, this is how it works. From what I was told, I did a bunch of homework on this. They don't make $700 anymore. That was their previous deal when the Cubs were part of NBC Sports Chicago. That ended in 2019. The Cubs went away and started Marquee. I think they're making about $585 to $600 for 145 games. Do the math. That's a lot of money.
Yes.
When he talked about the cable bundle, we were getting away with murder. Back when there was no such thing as streaming, everybody had cable. It was a monopoly. Mm-hmm. And if your parents, Bob and May Hood, wanted to get cable, but they weren't sports fans. Sorry, the basic cable has NBC Sports Chicago on 200, and they have ESPN on 173, and those are expensive channels. I think ESPN was almost $10 of your bill was going to ESPN to have ESPN 1, 2, and the classic and the news. Mm-hmm. Do the math. 60 million homes they're in now. They were in 100 million. Imagine $10 per person for every single subscriber every single month. That's how they can afford billions of dollars in rights fees. Well, now that all these cord cutters have said, I don't need cable. It's too expensive. I'm out. I'll stream what I want to stream. Whoa. That's a ton of money to lose. So he talked about there's panic. Yeah, there's a lot of owners panicking. But again, Jerry, if you want to win, push your chips in the middle. If you don't want to win or you just want to be a businessman, sell the team.
What I would say is that to the average fan that's listening to the show, they couldn't care less about the money that's lost. What they care about is, can you put an entertaining product out there? Ultimately, that's what it comes down to.
Right.
You want to be entertained. You want your team to win. You want to feel like your team has a chance because, I don't know, you're in this huge-ass market called Chicago.
Agreed.
You don't run it like it's Oakland. You don't. And I'm talking about as far as expectations are concerned.
If you Jonathan Hood, were not Jonathan Hood the broadcaster, you're an accountant. You come home every night as a Sox fan. How was your day? Doing these taxes and all this. I'm bored. I want to watch my Sox tonight. You want to know you've got a chance. Or why are you investing your time and money?
That's exactly right. I got other things to do. I'm invested because it's emotional and financial. As a partial season ticket holder, I'm both.
Correct. But my point is, you come home now, you watch because something may happen. We got to talk about it in the morning.
Yeah.
I watch everything, like you. But if you're not that guy, you're not doing what we do. You're a waiter or a lawyer or a teacher or a cab driver or a flight attendant, whatever it is. You come home, go, I had a long day. I just want to have something to eat, sit on my couch, and watch my White Sox.
Yep.
If you feel like really doesn't matter because they're not trying to win.
That's the worst.
Then why am I putting my heart out on the table? Justin from Dallas. It drives him insane when the Chicago teams he cheers for most, Bulls, Bears, White Sox, when they don't win, he's furious. We see him on Twitter. He speaks for millions of fans.
Absolutely.
Well, if Justin is putting his time in to spend the money from Dallas to buy the MLB package so he can watch his White Sox, Justin, they're not trying to win. Well, then why am I spending it?
Well, let me just say this to the White Sox and to Jerry Reinsdorf in this regard. The last thing, if you're not going to win, and if you keep slip sliding like this, don't worry about the anger. Don't worry about the anger when it comes to Sox fans. Let's put that to the side. No anger. Just look forward to more apathy. An animal story coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears, oh my.
Bears.
What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces?
Three boars.
Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping? Let's find out together. Animal Stories on Cap and Jay-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Time for an animal story right here on the Cap and Jay-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. We got Shout or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock. Animal story. Here's Shane Orling. Shane?
Well, Hoodie, you mentioned this to me in the meeting, actually.
Oh, yeah.
This doesn't come from any news story. This comes from you. Something happened to you yesterday.
Yeah, so driving in, and we're busy with the Bears, Cap. We got no time to sidebar to my nonsense. But I do want to just tell you that you're driving in, you're listening to the radio, hands on 10-2. You're just trying to drive in, just keep the rig on the road. With all the construction that's around the Obama Library, like I go through every day, it's like, you're just trying to drive and try to figure out what the lane is to try to get on the Lakeshore Drive, and all of a sudden there's 10 seagulls. They're just flocking around. I'm the second car at the light, and I take off, and all of a sudden, boom! What was that? And I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and as the wheels keep turning, I just keep seeing white feathers. I just keep seeing white feathers around my tire. And I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, that's me. I hit a seagull. Now, here's the thing, Cap. Like, I felt bad. Because it's not like, that seagull should have saw it coming. Look, he's flying around. All his nine buddies, they got out of the way when the light changed, but one did not. He wanted to stick around and check out the old car. Wanted to ask me about the Sox, probably, because I was around the museum. Hey, buddy, you think the Sox had turned this rock on? Dead! Instantly, Cap. Seagull dead. All right, and I just kept seeing, every time I would roll, the tires would roll, I kept seeing feathers.
Yeah. So was he wedged into the car when you stopped?
Not anymore, because you got to go 45 or 50 on Lakeshore Drive, so he wasn't wedged there anymore. Nope, he was gone.
Damn.
So wow. I mean, but I felt bad, Cap. And I would just wonder, I'm sure from our listeners that do a lot of long-distance driving, I'm sure they've hit animals before.
What did you feel bad about? that you killed him?
Yeah.
You're the one who called them a flying rat when we were walking to the garage last year.
Those are pigeons, pal. Those guys are okay. I mean,
and what was this?
A seagull.
I bet it was a pigeon.
No, no. You know the difference. It's like black and white. You know the difference when you see the colors, don't you? There's a difference. A pigeon knows how to get out of the way. Just when you think you're going to step on its tail, it just moves up a few inches.
Right.
Just when you think you're going to get a fly just enough away, not far, but just away, just to get away from you. Seagull, not too smart.
Okay, our garage where we pull in here next to the Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah.
When you turn in there, there's always 6, 7 of them having a smoke early in the morning waiting about 5:50, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Good morning. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Have a good show today.
Hey, guys, let me tell you, give the Sox hell when you go in there.
That's right, Pigeon. I'll take care of it.
And so I always have to tap on the horn.
Yes.
And I got out of the car. Hey, move! And I'm honking.
Yes.
This was the other day. Yeah. And this one of the security guys, I was like, it's a pigeon. Just run him over. I'm like, no.
No, no, no.
I can't do that.
I mean, sad. I poured one out for that seagull I hit because it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Yeah. It's hard, Cap. But I felt bad. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have hit deer and other animals, possums.
I drive back and forth to Wisconsin like every weekend. I cannot believe the number of dead deer on the side of either 94 or 41. Oh, my God.
Do you ever think about that when you're driving?
Yes.
About, like you're driving at a good speed, maybe getting on cruise control, sitting back.
Hands free.
Yeah. Checking it out, and all of a sudden, here comes a deer. All of a sudden, oh, God, it's yes.
Right.
You hit me. I don't understand why you hit me.
It's not failure.
Right, exactly.
I don't
want to get personal.
Exactly.
Thank you, Giannis. Yes.
I see so many dead deer, and if it hits you, you're going 75 miles an hour, and you hit a deer.
Oh,
good luck.
Mm.
You may not make it.
I mean, chrome versus deer. What wins? Chrome wins every time. Every time. Steel wins every time.
The deer may not survive, but you hit. I don't know. What's an average deer weigh, Shay?
All right. Let's look up and see what Chris Middleton, see what he weighs.
Yeah, what's Giannis? Probably 280?
Yeah, something like that. So it's about that, right?
No, I'm serious. What does a deer weigh? Like when you're driving up on 94 or 41 in Wisconsin, you're going 75 miles an hour. Deer's got to weigh 500-600 pounds,
this
right?
This can't be. But this says adult males weigh an average of 120 to 160 pounds.
That's it.
But if you hit if you hit a 160-pound person with your vehicle at a high rate of speed, you would have a problem.
Yes.
It would dent the car.
Yes.
Now, the person wouldn't win the fight. The deer's not winning the fight, but it's going to mess up the car.
Yes.
So, I mean, but you're saying I shouldn't feel bad.
So, let me ask you a question.
I mean, it's a seagull, man. I didn't mean...
Did you go out of your way to hit the seagull?
No, like I said, I'm at the light. And there's like 10 seagulls just kind of flocking around. You know how it is, like over at Wrigley Field, I guarantee. They just kind of circle looking mm-hmm. for food or whatever right there. And so the light turns green. There's a car that's ahead of me. I'm the second car in line as I make that turn to Lakeshore Drive. And then, boom, nine seagulls are gone. But the one hit my car. He was a low flyer, apparently.
He's a little lazy.
God, that's kind of
hey,
sucks.
Hey, Billy, let's go.
What have you...
God!
What have you... Yeah. Billy? Damn it! He's gone. Oh, well.
We got an opening.
Move the drill. Next.
Flying V formation. We need one more.
Mike in Woodridge on ESPN 1000. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. I'm talking about the animals and feeling bad when you hit them. It's all good and well till you hit an armadillo and it blows up your tire and you're just... screaming out anybody, and you don't feel bad at all.
You hit an armadillo?
Where was this?
Yes, and I see, and it's just, and they used to be in Missouri because I used to go from Arizona a lot, and now they're as far as Romeoville. I saw one last summer, so you guys got to watch out. They call them little tire bombs.
Oh my God.
Yes, then you would not feel bad for little Larry. You'd feel bad for your $225 Michelin. Tired. You gotta change.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, that's amazing, Mike.
Mike, thanks, man.
So Shay, have you hit anything recently?
I had something similar to yours. I don't remember what kind of bird it was, but back when I lived at home, I used to drive a Ford Fusion. It has the big grill right over the middle of it.
Yeah.
And there was a bird flew down right in front of it, got caught in the grill, and for maybe a week, there were feathers sticking out of the grill until they would get away. And then I also ran over a squirrel once, and I will tell you, I've maybe never been sadder.
Oh.
Because that thing died on impact.
So you hear the thump and the crunch, or just a thump in that spot?
The squirrel was just the thump, and I said, what the hell? And then I looked in my rear view, and there it is, splattered all over the street. That I felt pretty.
The combo!
So bad.
The combo!
Why do you make me relive that, Jay Moore?
He just gave you the combo platter there. So the screeching bad. And then the broken bones of the little squirrel. Did you hear that? Help. Oh, my gosh.
So bad.
Help me. And all of a sudden, Boys to Men show up and they sing right on spot. Right there on the spot, they just start singing.
Ugh.
So hopefully, Cap, because of your travails up and down from Wisconsin to Illinois, that you have to deal with that. In the darkness, man, hey, they don't invest in lights on these highways.
No.
You're in the darkness. You've driven up there.
Yes.
Holy cow.
All of a sudden, you're like, whoa.
I've seen them come across.
Scary.
Yeah. John in Oak Lawn on ESPN 1000. All right, John.
All right. So one time I'm golfing with my buddies, George Dunn.
Yeah.
Hit a perfect tee shot with my driver. Right before the ladies' tees or right before the front tees, I hit a bird shooting across the fairway. I Randy Johnsoned it with my drive.
Wow. Remember Randy Johnson threw a pitch?
Yeah. So, okay.
Dude, it went like over 200 yards, and then the bird is just laying there flapping one wing. Squealing in pain. My friend starts walking up to it with a 9-iron, and my other friend had better ideas, like, let's just run over it with the cart. So we just took the cart, one thump, put him out of his misery.
My God!
That was our best option. It was our best option.
John Kevorkian. My God.
That got dark.
Oh, my God.
Really dark.
Did you take a feather?
There was no other way around. We couldn't leave him there in misery.
John, did you take one of the feathers for a ball marker?
No.
that's the worst. Yes, he was in misery, but do you run him over? I mean, that's...
Dude, I had a girlfriend. Her mom was whacked. She would see roadkill or something like... She clipped a little claws off and make jewelry out of it.
Yes!
What?
Yes!
That's a deal breaker.
Is that your...
Total deal breaker.
Is that your hillbilly girlfriend from Louisiana?
No. She was someone not different? A hillbilly. This was the one whose dad used to coach at Kansas.
Okay. All right. Know who that is. Shot or no shot. 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.